When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The biggest breaking news stories, an outspoken opinion. The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
Today, according to the newspapers, we should be cheering because, oh, Christmas is saved. And those lovely, lovely people in the government have really, really generously decided to they will end the lockdown on the 2nd of December. And we are going to be going back into some sort of, you know, a happy place, where we are going to have some sort of freedoms, being allowed to, you know, go to the shops and things like that. However, it is lockdown in all but name for large parts of the country, isn't it, what we're talking about?
It is. I mean, it's continuation of lockdown by other means. I think it's really important that we realise how crazy and absurd it is that the government is deigning to say we might be allowed 5 days off for Christmas. I think we got used to these restrictions quite quickly. We've all got a version of Stockholm Syndrome or something at this point where we don't recognise how serious this is. But this is absolutely insane that this far into it, not only are these restrictions being continued on in another form, but also it's just become the role of the government to and to decide that maybe we get 5 days of reprieve if, after the point, we accept tougher restrictions. This is just not a sustainable state of affairs, and we shouldn't let ourselves get used to it.
Well, listen, I was talking to a friend yesterday who, you know, is very worried about elderly parents and being very careful and very sensible, given that she's got elderly parents she wants to spend time with in the bubble and all. And I said to him, we were talking about, you know, what we thought about all this. And she said to me, well, you know, what do you think they should allow us to do over Christmas? And I said, I don't accept the premise of your question. Lord Sumption, the former Supreme Court judge, wrote a superb piece in the papers at the weekend. We're going to be talking to him on the show tomorrow when we find out what our freedom pass is going to be exactly. But he wrote this piece, you know, this idea that it is up to the government to tell us what freedoms we have. One of the principles of this country is that you are free to do anything that you want to do as long as it does not harm others. The government has yet to show at any point, first lockdown onwards, the people mixing with other people in a safe, reasonable way, or shops being open, or being able to go to the pub, or say buying a Christmas card as opposed to buying Christmas pudding, is in any way contributing to other people's safety being put at risk. We've seen these 70 Tory MPs, part of this COVID research group, started at 30, now 70, demanding to see the cost-benefit analysis. This is Steve Baker, Mark Harper, Ian Duncan Smith, David Davis and others, saying, look, there's going to be a vote in the House of Commons next week. There's legislation on the lockdown falls. They have to have a vote on this, on any big change. But they're saying, look, we still have not seen, you know, basic research into what, you know, how many lives do you think these measures will save? And how many lives in the long run do you think these measures will cost? We've not seen that analysis. Now, there are two options here. We know certainly for the lockdown, there was no cost benefit analysis done because a cabinet minister told me that on the show and it's never been denied since. So they've either not done any cost benefit analysis, which is an extraordinary thing if they haven't, given the economic and long term health effects of what they're doing, or they've done it and they know that the costs outweigh the benefits, but they're going ahead anyway. On both grounds, we shouldn't accept it.
Of course we shouldn't accept it, because it's absolutely insane what the levels of these restrictions, the impact they're going to have, the idea that there wouldn't be some serious work done to try and estimate. Because really, when we're talking about lockdown and we're talking about trying to tackle the health crisis whilst also trying to keep the economy in some sort of shape, these are questions of trade-offs. If you're not having any economic impact assessments being made in relation to this, if there isn't a kind of, we need a kind of parallel to SAGE in that respect to kind of just make clear what the knock-on effects on jobs, on mental health, etc. are of all of these different restrictions. And it's just a huge dereliction of duty not to do it. And I think it's particularly crazy when you think about the fact that there's so much about coronavirus that we're still learning, that we're still working out how it spreads, how it affects people. We've known from day one that that lockdown was going to have a huge damaging impact on the economy. So not to take that seriously when that was one of the knowns in this, really, from the beginning, I think is absolutely crazy.
Well, indeed. And we know a lot more now. Again, I was massively in support of the first lockdown. It seemed to me it was, you know, that was just something we had to do. We were saving lives. The thing I find really frustrating, a lot of people say, why are you so angry all the time? Is because it's not, this isn't just sort of, oh, well, this policy of lockdown isn't doing any good. It's doing harm. And to be forced to sort of to watch my country's economy die and collapse, to watch the city where I live, the capital city, to look at the boarded up shops, to talk to the local shopkeepers on the day that they were locking up their businesses, not knowing if they would ever reopen, to see the ranks of the unemployed being swelled, and people who are, you know, living on furlough money for month after month after month, to see all of that. And hear from all the people who, you know, have their cancer treatment delayed or haven't been able to get a referral, they're waiting for it at the hospital. To see all of that at the same time, when you know that it is the policies that are doing that, that they actually are not just, they're not safe. Not only is the lockdown not saving lives, because even the World Health Organization has said, and indeed saying, you know, you don't actually save lives at long term. What you do is you delay, you know, people all dying in one go who are going to die of disease. You're actually costing huge numbers of lives, far more and far younger people. And yes, I do value the lives of 20-year-olds more than I value the lives of very, very sick 85-year-olds. Yes, I do, because I think that's the moral thing to do.
And it's just insane when you think about how much the goalposts have shifted. You know, as you say, loads of people supported lockdown first time around because it was 3 weeks of restrictions to stop the NHS from falling over. Maybe it will be extended a bit here or there. This has become the means through which we manage this indefinitely. And as you say, as the World Health Organization has pointed out, it's a delaying tactic. But what we're delaying for has often not really been clear. Now the vaccine's coming over the hill. That's all very exciting. That's a good development. But we can't stand to just wait until there's enough and enough of the different vaccines to roll out to everyone, because we've already seen the damage that the past 8 months has done. It seems to me that so much of this is just the government not really knowing what to do, flailing around, often chasing media and what they perceive to be public opinion. And as a result of that, we've ended up with, in a way, the worst of all possible worlds, a high number of COVID deaths and among the worst economic impacts.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, again, it's the Labour Party pointing out a lot of, you know, we've got very, very high economic damage. Part of that is because we have a large service economy and manufacturing has been able to continue. So Germany, they do okay. If you have a large aspect of your economy is the service economy, then of course you're going to be more hit, obviously. But again, we're talking about pubs and restaurants reopening. But apparently, again, this virus is unbelievably clever because it knows whether you're eating a pie or a packet of crisps when you're having your pint. And therefore, if you're having your pie, isn't it? If you have your pie, as long as you've got with chips or a salad with it, then somehow the virus can't attack you. So pubs that serve food, so middle-class pubs can reopen to serve food, and restaurants as well. They're looking at the 10 p.m. curfew. I mean, that's going to be the SOP. They're not going to have the 10 p.m. curfew. Now, that will make a big difference. Still, it looks like, from what we're hearing, again, all this stuff being leaked out, because it's only people's livelihoods that matter, isn't it? Let's give a leak, you know, onto Twitter. But we're looking at pubs and restaurants having to stop serving at 10 p.m., in terms of alcohol, but people aren't being kicked out until 11. So people will leave in drips and drabs and we won't see the chaos that we've seen before. That will not only lead to less sort of insane scenes on public transport in big cities, but also that will, I think, lead to pubs being, it's more viable in terms of taking a second sitting in the evening as well. So that will help. But again, we're still looking at restaurants and pubs at 50% capacity, if that, and having been closed in the month, which is one of their biggest months for takings.
No, it's such a kind of small good measure at this point, but it doesn't do anything to eclipse the damage that's already been done. I mean, the hospitality chiefs were giving evidence to Parliament last week, pointing, you know, they've lost north of 500,000 jobs already in that sector, and that was before the second lockdown came in. So all of these things, it's nice. I mean, the 10 p.m. curfew, as it was pretty irrational. So it's good that that's being addressed, not least because all the evidence seemed to suggest that there weren't huge outbreaks in relation to restaurants and pubs anyway. But again, this is really kind of small beer, to you turn a phrase, in relation to that sector, which has been hit so badly already.
Yeah, and the reality is, this whole idea, well, the government's going to let us have Christmas together, up to 4 households over 5 days, but of course we'll get a punishment beating in January by having more of a lockdown anyway. But again, we know the curfew runs till March. This is it, folks, and this is what it's going to be like until spring. I think, frankly, I think even after the vaccine, looking at the polls, people want to be locked down forever. I don't know what... you say, it's Stockholm syndrome. I don't know what is wrong with people. We are going to have to fight tooth and nail to get all of our rights back. And I want it back to absolutely every single right I had beforehand. I am so terrified that we are going to have the government able to control our lives. I don't want to live in totalitarian China. I really don't. And we are sleepwalking into that. But it's this idea that, OK, we're going to have these freedoms over Christmas, and aren't they very generous? But then there's been some polling over the weekend. The Guardian reported, typical of The Guardian, that people would rather not have Christmas to not have the restrictions in January. Ah, you're getting them in January anyway. Deaths are going to go up in January. You know why? Because it's called winter and they go up every single year. But also the key thing is the government knows perfectly well huge numbers of people. I mean, a quarter of people say they're going to break the rules to see their family at Christmas anyway. Mm. Oh, who are we kidding? It's going to be three quarters. People are just, every time you see a Vox pop on the TV, they go, well, I'm going to see my family anyway. The reality is people make their own rational, sensible decisions about what to do to keep them and their family safe. I don't know a single person with parents or grandparents in their 70s and 80s who is not taking extra care around them.
Completely. And that's the one thing which I think is really important to point out. When we criticise the lockdown, it's not to suggest that we think people are just going to go nuts, that everything's going to let it rip, that people aren't going to take any kind of precautions whatsoever. It's leaving it up to people to decide, because not only do they know what's best for their own well-being, but also it's just a far more tenable way of dealing with this without destroying our civil liberties in the process. And I think you're exactly right about Christmas. Fundamentally, the reason that the government is doing this and giving us a little five-day reprieve, even though it seems to cut against everything that they've been doing in recent months, is because they know people won't follow it. And that's the one thing that is making me slightly more hopeful, is that in the same way that the public kind of led us into lockdown, people starting to avoid public transport, etc., I think we're going to start to see people chafing more and more against these restrictions, and hopefully the government having to respond to that and loosen things up. I think that will be something to watch.
I fear, alas, it is going to have to be public opinion that leads it, which is why we do what we do here on my show, to try and make sure that people make educated decisions and can tell their MPs what they really think. I just don't think the polling is accurate. I really don't.
The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and give me a good review. And don't forget to catch me on the Talk Radio Breakfast Show every weekday from 6:30 until 10.